Proverbs chapter 31. I'm getting it on, Joe. Proverbs chapter 31. I got to looking over my notes, and we're almost done with Proverbs. I don't know what I'm going to do after this. It'll be something from the Bible, though. We're going to start this morning, Proverbs 31 and verse 13. Again, the remainder of this chapter deals with the virtuous woman and the ideal that is set forth. And verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Now these verses begin to describe the diligence of the virtuous woman, especially as it concerns the management of her home. She's not idle. She's not lazy. She doesn't sit around all day eating bonbons and watching slop operas. She is a woman of diligence. She is most willing to work with her hands to see to the needs of her household. She understands the value of wool for warm, durable clothing and learns not only where to find it, but also how to use it for the benefit of her family. She also understands the economics of trade. This is a woman of intelligence. Some kinds of food that she desires for her family are not able to be produced in her home or in her garden. And she has to seek it outside the confines of her home. Through her diligence and frugality, she has either goods or money to buy things from afar that she deems appropriate for her family. George Lawson said this about these verses: she grudges no expense that may contribute to the happiness of her family, but cheerfully exchanges the fruits of her own labor for those necessities and conveniences that are fetched from distant countries. She provides by her labor and good management something to sell that the price may serve for the purchase of other commodities. The virtuous woman enjoys the fruit of other people's labor and the produce of other climates, for divine providence bestows its blessing on her industry, and there is no want of any good thing endured in her house. I think it's interesting that this woman is engaging in order to try to benefit and be a blessing to her household. If she thinks there's something that her family needs and she can't provide it, it's not grown in her garden, she can't make it, she finds a way that she can trade for it. Something of value to her for somebody else's goods and services. This is the essence of a barter system and really capitalism. At the very foundation of a society is something this simple. You have a good or service that you can either, that you can provide or trade with somebody else to procure their good or service. Both parties are benefited. It's a win-win for everybody. Now verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This verse tells us that the virtuous woman understands the importance of both time and compassion in the management of her household. She rises before the sun to start her day. While others are sleeping, she has time to think, to plan her day, to spend time with the Lord. And this may be also the only time of the day that she has to herself, especially when her children are small and demand extra care and attention. So she gets up so that she can have some quiet time with the Lord. And I tell you, that's a premium when you're a mom, especially with young children. Now, this doesn't seem normal to us, all right, that she gets up before day and makes meat, gives meat to her husband, provides his food. And part of the reason why we don't think in these terms anymore is that in agrarian societies prior to the industrial age, families either farmed their own land or they worked for a landowner. And that work was very labor intensive. I mean, I work in the garden for just a little bit and I start thanking God for air conditioning. But to get up at sunrise and work all day till sunset out in the fields, that's something you don't hear a lot about today. But that's how people lived prior to the industrial age. Now, oftentimes, breakfast would be a hearty meal that would serve to fuel the laborer with the energy he needed throughout the day. Perhaps you've been in a family. Some of you are a little agey. You've been around where the mom got up early in the morning and cooked a full-blown meal before the folks in the family went out to work all day. I've heard of people. I've talked to old guys before when I go preach at different places, and they'll say, "Yeah, I remember my mom. She'd have a spread of at breakfast. We'd have biscuits and gravy and chicken and pork chops." I'd say, "For breakfast?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We ate really a big meal for breakfast because we were going to be gone all day working. And then she'd pack us something to take with us, a biscuit, maybe a pork chop that we could eat lunch that day." So that is the way people thought and lived. But the wise woman rose early, sacrificing her time and energy to prepare a meal for her family and for her maidens to start the day. Her mind was on being a blessing to her family. Verse 16. This is the real estate agent verse that they like to kind of pull out of its context. "She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard." The wise and virtuous woman is always considering ways to improve the profitability of the household she manages. She was a home manager. She considers carefully a field that may be purchased and put to profitable use. She understands the importance of investing her savings and her resources to meet the growing demands of her household. And instead of allowing the field to simply collect thorns and briars, she exercises diligence and plants a vineyard that will yield fruit for personal use as well as profits when she sells the fruits. So again, this is a testimony to her wise industry and diligence. Now, some have suggested this is a proof text for female real estate agents to latch on to. But this passage is really dealing with a wife and a mother who is doing all that she can to be a faithful keeper of the home that she has been entrusted. And yet, I mean, this is an Old Testament principle. It's also a New Testament principle. Over there in Titus chapter 2, we have a similar, it'd be a lot more concise, but it says this in Titus chapter 2 about what the aged women are to be holy and they're to be teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then he exhorts young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know, we're missing in the culture and the society in which we live. We are missing the influence of mothers at home. And I've often said, I don't know why anyone would try to get rid of the family as God designed it, with a man as the head of his home, his wife in submission to him, and his children in obedience. I mean, it's a really good order. It's set forth over and over again in the Scriptures. And it's the best way. Because, like I said last week, this is affecting all of our society. No moms at home that are actually teaching, training, encouraging, helping, being an example for their children. Sadly, there's no dads at home either. Look at, and this isn't just confined to the black or African American, however you want to say it, the black home or the white home. We're living in a day and age where the government is actually incentivizing people to be single parents. And that's not a winning proposition. You show me a family that is functioning. A husband, a wife, training, teaching, loving their children. Those kids are going to be a whole lot better off than kids that are raised in a daycare center that go, that are influenced every day by people who are not their parents. And I'm afraid we've gone at least two generations promoting the idea that all single parents, they can do a great job. Well, I know that there are exceptions to the rule, but it is not the best way. It's not God's way. And it troubles me to see how it's affecting our country. I see over there, you know, when you see what's gone on in Chicago in the last week or two. And I haven't been watching news, but I'll read little snippets where I think it was earlier this last week, 16 people were shot at a funeral home. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If young men don't have a dad to teach them, to train them, to help them, and they just kind of raise themselves, you're not going to have good citizens. And that's what's happening in Chicago. That's why there's so much gang violence. Young men are being raised with no dad at home. And if their mom's there, she's probably working two jobs. That's no way. That cannot end successfully. Because it's not God's way. And it really troubles me when I see nearly every major corporation now with this slogan, Black Lives Matter. Black individual lives matter. 100% agree. That's why I preach to them and witness to people of every race. Because every race is going to be represented before the throne of God. In fact, we're all of one blood. The Bible says. But the fact of the matter is, the two angry lesbian girls that started Black Lives Matter want to purposely destroy the family as God set it up. You can go to their mission statement, to their website. And I believe that's wrong. At its very foundation. And yet that slogan is being, it's going everywhere. And I believe, like many things, it's a catchy phrase, but people never investigate what's behind it. Black Lives Matter, Inc. Go to their website. You can see exactly what their intent. The girl, who one of the angry lesbian girls who founded it, said that one of the reasons why she founded it is because she is a trained Marxist who wants to cause disruption to Western civilization, to the Judeo-Christian ethic. See, you can't have a strong family. You can't have strong family units in a Marxist society. Everybody's got to pledge their allegiance to the state, to the dictator. All right, verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. This woman's not at all averse to physical toil that requires exertion as well as perseverance in the task at hand. Her activity builds stamina and strength so that she can accomplish what she sets out to do. Indolence and sloth often diminish physical health and vitality. You don't ever do anything, whether you're a man or a woman, if you sit around all day eating bonbons and watching slop operas or playing video games, whatever it is, you're not going to be strong and you're not going to be healthy. And the wise woman understands she must be up and doing to maintain her strength and her health for her own good and for the good of her family. You know, I'm often amazed what homeschooling moms are able to accomplish in a day with the variety of responsibilities and tasks that have to be completed, especially if they've got several children. And their work requires strength from on high as they labor for the Lord and their family. And those, you women that have actually invested in your family, you know the toil that it takes to raise kids, to manage a home. It's not for lazy folks. It takes work. I'm amazed, you know, Sister Trina. She works right alongside Ed and her girls in that greenhouse business. They built that thing from the ground up. We just had one little old, looked like a plastic shed they started out in. And now it's maybe one of the biggest greenhouse businesses in all of the vastness of Lawrence County. And they're known from all around, but she works right alongside Ed. And those girls, they're entrepreneurs. They like taking care of those of animals. Dogs, cats, lizards, snakes, possums, I don't know, everything you can think of. And they figured out a way that they could provide a service and a good. They did that when they was like 14, 15 years old. And they're on their way to being millionaires. I don't know if they're how close they are to that. I tease them all the time. But again, they found a way. They're industrious. They're diligent. And that's a good example of the truth exhibited in this proverb. God has blessed women with determination, with diligence, and strength to get the work done. And the example is set forth right here by this wise woman, this virtuous woman. All right, we're gonna stop there. We'll pick up in verse 18. God bless you. We're dismissed.